I want you to turn over to this message, which the message is really entitled, Stay Focused. And we are talking about transformation. That's why the first slide was up there this morning. Stay focused in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let me just refer to a couple things there before I move on. For you have died. Galatians 2 and 20. You should memorize that and always keep that. For I have been crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Amen. It's really important to understand that you have died. And not only have you died, but Christ, who is your life, appears. And he will appear. He is our life. What this world offers is not our life. Now, because we are human beings, believe me, we are drawn into this world, and the things of this world are very tempting and very strong, like a magnet, drawing us into certain areas that are important to us, but not as important to God. But we find ourselves getting drawn into those things, leaving God behind or outside. That's because we're human and our mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be transformed. Our mind needs to be holy. You know, we think holiness is something that deals with, you know, dress codes and appearance. Holiness is something that is of the heart. God is holy, so we should be holy. Well, he didn't say you should be. He said, be holy, for I am holy. That's what he states. But it's a heart. Felt heart responding holiness that grabs a hold of heaven and grabs a hold of us to be able to understand what God is stating to us in his word. So you've died. And your life is now hid with Christ. It's there. It's with Christ in God. It's there. It's hidden there. It's yours. But it's with Jesus Christ. Now, in the next slide, I want you to see that this is a testament of faith in the reference of trusting God through difficult times. You see, during our difficult times is when we don't trust God. You know, this week I was going through some times where I was just asking God some things, and I was beginning to be a little anxious. Have you ever been there? Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Then all of a sudden, you know, I looked on Facebook, of all places, which I don't go all the time, but I happened to go there, and there was this nice graphic. Trust God, don't worry. And man, I needed to hear that right then. I needed to just hear that. Trust God, don't worry. And I really was thankful for that because it's so true. If we really trust God, we won't worry because we believe God can take care of anything. Even our mistakes. Even our fears. Even our mountains that are before us. That seemingly when we pray for them to move, they get bigger. Trust God. Don't worry. Seeking the things that are above where Christ is, referencing where He is seated. It means that it is a completed work. When it says that Jesus is sitting next to the Father at the right hand, it is a statement in the Bible that He has completed His work. We are His people. The enemy has no right in our life. Even though he tries his best to bring us difficulties and struggles, and sometimes we help him by focusing away from God and focusing on the world. Struggles come that way. Doors open that way that we don't want open, and all of a sudden we're dealing with something we did not want to deal with. Are you with me? The work's completed. Jesus did the work. And then the mind is directed to focus on things that are above. That's where our mind is directed, to focus on things that are above. Now, you've heard that statement, don't be so heavenly minded that you won't be earthly good. I heard that my whole life, but that's not what the Bible says. We should be heavenly minded so we could be earthly good. You know, the enemy likes to twist things so it looks like we, well, that sounds really good, you know. But it's not right. We have to be focused on things above. What's going on in the heavenlies? What's going on in God's Word? What's happening in my prayer life? What's going on in my spiritual walk with God? Is it like flatlined? Is it like not working well? Am I communicating with God? You know, I read an interesting line today in a devotional. As a matter of fact, I copied it. I wanted to read it tonight as I preach on prayer in Santa Cruz. But I want to refer it to you right now, is that if you pray to God to get a hold of the things you want, that's not what prayer is about. When you pray to God, what it's all about is you take hold of God. You take hold of Him. That's the important thing. So don't feel dejected in your life because you're praying and nothing's happening. If you're praying in Jesus' name, you're getting a hold of God. You're setting your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Reminding us that we have died to the flesh. I don't want you to look back at all at your flesh, but I'm sure it was pretty ugly at one time. At least mine was. Mine was disgustingly ugly. So I'm not going to look back on it. I'm going to be thankful that I have died to my flesh and that the life we have now is hidden with Christ in God. That is so important that this life is hidden. And we'll go over that in a moment. With Christ in God. How important is that for our life? Christ is our life. We are no longer our own. When He appears, comes from being hidden, so then shall we appear. How exciting is that? When it comes out of hiding, we're going to appear with Him. When He comes to appear on this earth, when He shows up on the scene without warning, He's not going to dial your phone. He's not going to send you a text. You're not going to get an email from Jesus, "I'll be there tomorrow." He's not going to ask you whether you're ready for Him. The Bible says He comes as a thief in the night. In other words, we need to be ready for His appearing because our lives are hidden with Him. In God. In heavenly places. Where our mind is set and our thoughts are set. And we're not categorizing the world as which is most important to me this day. Because we've prayed and because we've read the Word and because we've sanctified our mind that Jesus Christ is speaking to our spirit even as we drive to work. Even as we get on Facebook. Somebody asked me the other day who began to follow me. He said, if you're a Twitter addict, follow back. I followed back, but I did not tell him I was a Twitter addict because I'm not a Twitter addict. I got rid of my addictions when I got saved. Amen. I don't want any more addictions. I'm not a Twitter addict. If there's anything that I'm addicted to today on this earth, it's I'm addicted to how much I love my wife. To make sure that she feels good every day. And that she's blessed. Amen. But I'm trying to say to you that what we have to understand is we can't get ourselves in a place where something is between us and God. This command called the Colossians to focus on matters related to the rule of Christ in the world. Christ is the ruler of this world. We need to focus on that. You know, we have an election coming up this year. And some of those candidates, I'm wondering, you know, where they're from. I know our nation, the United States of America, is not doing well right now. Financially, politically, and socially. And we have these candidates up there saying things that are lies to our nation. And people are jumping on board to some of these candidates because they're not able to say how they really feel, but these people are saying what they think they really feel, and it's a big ball of confusion. When the United Kingdom has already said they will not stand behind one of these candidates, I'm worried. But I'm not here to speak politics to you today. I'm here to tell you that our nation is a mess, but we need to find ourselves on our knees and wanting to know what Jesus Christ wants us to do in this world. Yes. I'll just say this. I don't see this in any party out there yet. But what I do see, that the party that I do see, the one that are in, is the Word of God's party that says that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, and He loves everybody. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not carnality, but Christ. Don't be carnal. But Christ. I have friends of mine that watch certain sitcoms or dramas. My wife helped me the other day. I called everything a sitcom. She says, no, that's a drama. I said, thank you. I'm telling you, my wife is wonderful. It's just, she always helps me. And so I just listened. I said, okay, the dramas that they're watching, you know, they're so horrific. And I'm saying, friend, don't you realize that you're a pastor and you're watching this and you're preaching on Sunday? And they never say, yes, I realize that. They say, oh, okay. I'm not going to mention shows to you, but I'm just trying to say to you that anything that builds up the sin of this world and doesn't build up Jesus Christ is not good for our eye gates or our ear gates. Yeah. Amen. Right. Not here to preach about television either. I own one, two of them actually. Let's talk about authority. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our authority. The Bible says in the first commandment that we should honor God and have no gods before Him. He is the authority in our life. What He says is what goes. The Word declares to us how to live and how to be. That's how we should live and that's how we should be. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me, so now I send you into this world with this authority to teach, to preach, to baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost." In other words, go in there and tell them about me. Speak to their hearts, exhort them, encourage them, lift them up, and when they're ready, pray them into the kingdom of God and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All authority. He has given us authority. I want you to say that in your spirit. I have authority. I have authority. The enemy does not have any authority in my house. He doesn't have any authority in my mind. He has no authority in my relationships. I have authority, and that authority comes through Jesus Christ being my King and Savior. I have authority to pray. I have authority to read the Word. I have authority to pray for others. I have authority to bind on earth and it shall be bound in heaven. I have authority to loose on earth what shall be loosed in heaven. I have authority to pray in faith. I have authority to walk boldly into the throne room of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in my time of need. I have authority. Because my mind is set on things above and not on things of the earth. I've been given authority. Now in this world we see people get authority and they don't know how to handle authority. And they're horrible to be around. They're terrible to be around. They're terrible leaders. They're not servants. They don't want to be served. They're horrible in leadership because all they know what to do is lead without knowledge. Lead by title only. But we as Christians, we have authority by Jesus giving us that authority and then baptizing us and empowering us with the Holy Ghost of the living God. See, what I want you to know today is the enemy tricks you into thinking that he can badger you anytime he wants. That he can come in and take your children and take them out into the world and hang them up in front of you like they're trophies of hell. Let me tell you today, you have authority to bind him off your children in Jesus' name. You have authority to call your children back into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What you see may be temporary, but what God wants for them is the eternal heaven. Praise God. You have authority to break the temporary and pray God's authority into their life. Second is inspiration. Man, we're inspired by the Word. We're inspired by our text today. We are inspired on where to put our minds and how we're to follow that and what kind of life we're supposed to lead. We're inspired by the preaching of God's Word. We're inspired through prayer. We're inspired by seeing the power of the Holy Ghost break every chain. Breaking every chain. There's no fetters that can hold you. No shackles that can keep you. Nothing could keep Paul and Silas inside that jail. Nothing could keep Peter inside that jail. Praise God. Because people were praying and they were praising. Hallelujah. And they broke every chain, every fetter, and they came out. So whatever's got your children bound, whatever may have you bound mentally today, you don't have to be bound anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I pray that right over your life right now by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, because there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. I break those shackles. I break those chains. And in Jesus Christ, you are free. Hallelujah. I'm inspired to speak His word. You're inspired to do something for God every day. Inspiration is the best thing. You know, I have pastors come up to me and say, you know, Dennis, you're such an inspiration. And I walk away thinking, really? Really? I'm just a servant leader. That's who we are. That's who Kathy and I are. And we go to these meetings. You know what I do? I go around and I collect all the dishes and the plates off their tables for them. Man, Dennis, you are a servant. Really? Even notice that all I'm doing is what God has put in me to inspire other people, that love breaks every chain, love covers a multitude of sin, love builds relationships. Amen. 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 By authority, I break every argument in your home, every division in your home. By authority of Jesus Christ, there is power in that name. By authority of Jesus Christ, those arguments are broken in His name right now. Hallelujah. Be inspired that you are born again, Spirit-filled and full of the Holy Ghost of God. And you're reading the Word. You're praying. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Be inspired that your light shines and people see it and you don't even know that they see it, because you are so used to shining the light, it has become part of you. Be inspired that you have a home you're going to. A home that is eternal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't need anybody to write a book about heaven. I don't need to have anybody write about those that have gone and come back. I don't need to hear testimony of what heaven is like. All I know that heaven exists, and praise be to the Lord our God, we will be there together. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. We will walk upon streets of gold. We will worship and praise Him. But yet when we've been there 10,000 years, can you imagine? We'll still be shouting and praising the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. Then there's Revelation. Wow. We come into this world in birth, born in iniquity, till we receive the revelation of who God is. Till the Holy Ghost sparks that light in us that we need to be saved. And that Jesus Christ is there with His nail-scarred hands there at His pierced side to save us, because He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The revelation of the Word, when you're reading the Word and all of a sudden it goes off in your mind, this means something to me. That is God speaking to you through His Word. Hallelujah. It's very important we understand that this Word is alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, separating the spirit and the soul, the joints and the marrow, and knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. This Word. He knows every cell of our body, every joint of our body. He knows every molecule because He breathed them to life. There's revelation in God's Word. That revelation, when it goes off in our minds, we feel, my God, this is something I need to take care of. Don't let this world draw you away from that. Don't let the world draw you away from what God has for you. Amen. God has such great things for you. God has such a great destiny for you. God has wonderful plans for you. He has wonderful plans for your children. Wonderful plans for your grandchildren. You know, every day I pray for you all. I prayed for you last night, 2:30 in the morning. I was up praying for you and calling your names out before the Lord. And I just want you to know something. When I pray for the babies of this world, I know Judah's not a baby, but I pray for him this way. And I pray for Titus and Solomon. For all my grandkids. For pastors' wives that I know. I even pray for babies that are yet in the womb. No evil befall them. No plague come near their dwelling. And no disaster to be in their life.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I don't say that to be a braggart or say that to be noticed. I don't say that to say our pastor's a real prayer person. I say that to tell you, you've got authority to stop the devil from getting your kids, even as babies. With prayer, cover them with the word of God, cover them with the promises of the King of glory. Amen. I pray for marriages, I pray for teenagers. I take it very seriously, the email that came in from Pastor David White, our youth director of California, Nevada, sending in an email praying for churches and youth groups and praying for 400 students to be filled with the power, refreshed and renewed with the power of the mercies of God. Amen. Amen. This isn't an advertisement, but I, with all the prayer that's going on in the fasting, I encourage every student in this building and every student that may, you know, it would want to go to follow our student pastor to that great meeting and our board member, our youth board member, to go to that great meeting down there in Oxnard, Ventura, and hear the word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to date myself. The young man is preaching. When I first met him, he was this big. Hallelujah. Greg Baird's son. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, amen. I dated myself. I know I look 30. By authority of God, I look 30. Amen. Some prayers just aren't going to be answered. Hallelujah. But we have this revelation that we need to be able to speak into lives. We need to pray for people. You know, it's easy to pray for those you love. How about pray for your enemies? Boy, that's a tough one. I get the people on my prayer list and I begin to pray for them. And I'm saying, on one side of my mouth, I'm saying, God bless them. The other side of my mouth, I'm saying, God, can I just take the X key on my phone and just go take their name out and let it go up? Can I just remove them? But then I realize that would be easy. But what is difficult is to pray for people that have been your enemy. That's revelation. That's revelation. Praise God. Let's focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Wow. You know, it's just good sometimes to just sit there and think about Jesus. What he's done, what he's going to do, and how he's going to change your life every day. How he has saved you and sanctified you. promised you the Holy Ghost, and he fulfilled that. Amen. It's there. Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, focus on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all its righteousness. And then all these things that he had mentioned before that shall be added unto you. Seek first. The mind set and sanctified. Our mind, in other words, it needs to be set on what we're focusing on, and it is sanctified because Jesus sanctifies our mind. And you know, there are days when I'm sitting there with the Lord and I'm saying, Jesus, would you sanctify my mind again? Because it's going somewhere. Would you bring it back? Amen. Would you bring it back to a place to where it needs to be sanctified? And you know, lo and behold, I believe he just sanctifies that mind immediately. Before they could cross the river Jordan over to the land, he told Joshua, go around and tell the people to sanctify themselves because you're moving into the promise. You're moving into who I am. Sanctify yourself. Praise God, you have authority to move where Jesus wants you to move. But you got to be sanctified to do any good. Are you with me? Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Have the same mind that Jesus has. Be there with him and by strength. Hidden in Christ with God. How powerful that is. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the title deed that is buried out of sight. Some typos there, I'm sorry. That is buried out of sight from everyone else, but you know where you buried it. So let's say you had a title to a piece of property. And you left for 35 years. And you came back and somebody was living on that property. You could walk up to them and say, you know what? This is my property. And they say, you don't have any title deed to this. And you'd go over there with a shovel. And you know exactly where you buried it. And you dug it up. And you hold it up. And you show it to them. And it says, you own this property. You see, we are hidden with Christ. The enemy can't walk on our property. The enemy can't take what is ours. The enemy can't say he owns it. We dig up that title deed and we say here, faith is the evidence of things not seen and the conviction of things yet to be hoped to have. Faith is knowing God's word has been applied to your life. The conviction, the evidence, faith is what you believe in. Faith is what you have. Admission. When he appears, I like the word admission because what it says, we got a mission in the glory. I got my ticket. How about you? I'm going to ride that gospel train. How about you? That's old school preaching right there. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've got my ticket. Amen. I don't care if it's up front in the luxury or it's way back in the caboose. As long as the wheels are heading towards heaven. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 3 and 2. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Amen. Are you looking for him? Amen. Are you looking for him? He's coming. He's coming to be with us, and he's coming to help us. He's coming to glorify us. He's coming to take us up into glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Those people that today that say that the rapture's not going to happen. I don't know why these people try to dissect the word and all their theologies and philosophies. My God, the Bible says there will be a twinkling of an eye that he will come across, and with a great shout and the sounds of trumpet, the church shall rise. Amen. I don't think they're ready to go. That's why they're saying that. Perfect peace. I wanted to put this in here because that's a tough one to feel. Perfect peace. Because our minds are so twisted in where we want to be and where we're supposed to be and mistakes that we've made and confusions of arguments, separations and divisions. When somebody says perfect peace, we say amen, but there's this thought that goes through the mind of a human being that what I just described, and that thought is saying, I don't know what perfect peace is. I seem to have a heaviness about everything every day. I don't know what it is to be at perfect peace. But the Bible's very clear that we have a perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We got to trust the Lord. How do you know? Because I know that God will take care of every step. He orders the steps of the righteous. Amen. He will take care of every step for us. He will guard us against the evils of this world. He will keep us.
Yes. Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
We have to have perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Perfect peace. Because your mind is stayed upon him. When it begins to wander, I want you to remember to say this scripture out loud or say it in your spirit. But know that you can be in perfect peace when you think upon God. God's not wanting you to walk around and bump into things like, you know, you're thinking about God, you can't see the world. But God's wanting you to know that while you're in this world, you need to stay on him. And you need to be able to know that he has got your steps ordered. And he knows what your tomorrow's like. He knows what your yesterday was. He knows what your sleeping was last night. And he knows what your future is, when it'll end, and what you have promised he will give you. I take authority right now over confusion.
Yes.
In the home.
Amen.
Confusion on the job. I take authority over that boss that seems to labor over you. I take authority over him or her. I take authority in disobedience in the home. I take authority of division in the home. I take authority of loneliness in the home. I take authority, loneliness on the job. I take authority over these things. I take authority over that which makes you feel separated and not as good as. My friend, if you got Jesus in your heart, you're as good as anybody can ever get. Amen. You're as good as anybody can ever get. Amen. I take authority over that one and those that think that they're not as pretty as someone else or as handsome as somebody else. That's the way the world thinks. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're handsome. You're gorgeous. You are God's children. You are his beauty. And the beauty of the Lord rests within your heart. God is good. God is good. Transformed. What a great word. What we wrestle against so much is transformed. I want it my way, God, not your way. I want it my way. If you're going to change me in any way, change me in the way I want it. I'll serve you, but change me the way I want it. God, give me money, give me a house, give me a beautiful, handsome husband, a beautiful wife. Give me a great car, let me live in the best neighborhood. And then, God, you know I'll serve you like nobody else ever could. Sounds like Jacob to me. But anyhow, what I'm saying to you,
is don't try to make a bargain with God. He did his bargaining on the cross called Calvary. He did his bargaining on the day he went down and ordered back the keys of life and death from Lucifer himself. Set the captives free. Amen. He did his bargaining when he opened up the tomb that day, walked out in a bodily resurrection. He does his bargaining in Hebrews 7:25 when he intercedes for you every day. When struggles come, he's praying for you. When struggles are there and confusion hits, he's praying for you, praise God. When poverty knocks at your door, he is saying, you are rich. You are rich in spirit, rich in me. Amen. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You got to have a renewed mind before you can test. You got to have this mind set on Jesus Christ. You got to have this mind just prepared. You got to have this mind to be able to give an answer when anybody asks you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have a mind that says when somebody asks you about Jesus, say, I'm going to go get my pastor. Or when you have to teach and you say, I can't teach. Believe me, the Bible says that God will give you the words. I believe anybody can teach. I know people say they can't. I know people say they can't. I hear it all the time and have heard it for the last 40 years. I can't. Yes, you can, because the Lord is in your life. He is there. He is there. He's more than able to do all that you ask or think according to the power that works within you. He's exceedingly, abundantly more than able to do all that you ask or think according to the power that works within you. Pray. Lord God, I got to teach a class. Help me. Just open your lips. Let your vocal cords fly. And the words that come out will touch the lives. Well, what if there's 100 people there and I only touch one? God is not keeping score. Well, they only touched one. Mm-hmm. Next, there's one that touched 99. Oh, the Bible says that the shepherd left 99 to go find the one. What is wrong with us today that we feel like we got to be something great to do what God wants? God is not looking for greatness. He is looking for obedience. That's all he's looking for. There we go. Transformed. I have no idea how that transformed ended up like that. I really don't. But it is. I'm trying to make a sermon closer on that right now. Maybe you're just a transform. And right now you're in the middle of being a trans and a form. And if you just give your heart to Jesus today at this altar, you will be transformed. I will erase that, believe me. I pray today that in this message that you will be transformed. Would you go back to the first slide, Alex? I know you probably have already shut it down, and Alex did that purposely on that slide anyhow. I'm just joking. Be transformed. And you see what happened? The mind is set on the cross of Christ. And behind that head, that silhouette of that head, is the world. And there you have the gears turning. But the gears are covered by the cross of Jesus Christ. And I would pray today that each and every one of us would pray with me now and ask God for a renewing of your mind.
Be a human being. Live a great life. Enjoy daily the things that you love. But never make them bigger than God. Amen. I love that. God wants us to enjoy life. I've been around Christians that have been a little hard to be around, if I may say so. Just a little difficult. How are you doing today?
I'm saved. Are you?
Yes, I'm a pastor. I didn't ask you what you did. I asked you if you're saved. Hello, goodbye. You know. But seriously, we just need to renew our minds and to know who God is in our life every day. Not just Sunday. Every day. Being blessed of the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory.